Thank you, team, for leading. Appreciate music. You know, I didn't really reflect on what the songs were ahead of time, but it really fits in with a part of my story, right? That first one could be my testimony. The song could be written about some of my journey. No longer a slave to fear. I used to really live out of fear. And in high school, I had to do a three-minute speech, and I couldn't hear a word I said because I was just so terrified to be in front of the class. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I've come to Christ. He's changed me so much. Beyond comprehension. And it's come through kind of what we just sang in that last song. It's who you say I am. It's believing what God says about me more than my feelings, my thoughts, my whatever someone else has said about me. It's believing Him. And that flows out of that middle song, believing who God is. I mean, He is the way maker, the miracle worker. And you know, that can get twisted. That's been interpreted as the way maker, the miracle worker. That means He makes my way work out the way I want it to, and I want the miracles I want. But He really does lead us in the way and the truth and the life. He is the way and the truth and the life. And He leads us in things that are good for us. That comes from His character. That's who God is. So we get more and more as we understand who God really is, and then we understand who we are. And He's outlined it in the first three chapters of Ephesians and other places, who we are. Then we live out of that. Then we walk in freedom and newness of life. And look at Ephesians 4, 17 to 32 here this morning. As we continue on this journey. Now, last week we broke into this second half of Ephesians with unity in the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit comes through the bond of peace and grace and diversity. Both of those working together, and we experience unity in the Spirit with one another and this multi-ethnic family that God's brought together, this ragtag group of undeserving people, is brought together that we can move forward with Him and have an incredible impact for Him. As it moves into the second half, right, that's the unity of the Spirit. As we move into chapters 4, the verses 17 to 32 this morning, we see that Jesus brings new life. Both these sections start with a therefore, right? There's a therefore at the beginning of verse 17, or right at the beginning, and it refers back to the therefore of 4 verse 1. Walk a life worthy of your calling. So He's outlined, here's our calling, here's who we are in the first three chapters. Walk worthy of that calling, 4 chapter 1. 4:17 continues, live the new life in Christ. Would you join me in prayer as we dive into these verses here this morning? Heavenly Father, we need You to teach us. Jesus, when You returned to the Father, You said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll send you another. We'll lead you into all truth. We'll remind you of the things I have said. And teach us and transform us and bring about that living it out right now, right today. We pray that You'd help teach us here and lead us to that true transformation by the power of Your Spirit. We pray. Amen. This whole series is living in our identity and out of our identity in Christ. An absolutely key and essential phrase. This is in Christ. It's Jesus that brings new life. It's not me doing religion right. It's not whatever else we want might be tempted to trust in. It's as we live in Christ that He brings about this transformation. I'm just going to read through these verses and then we'll go back and walk through several things here together. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk or live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let not corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as is the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, we're not going to deal with everything in these verses. There's a lot here. We could unpack so many of these words. What is this? What is... But if you feel I missed something critical, as always, please come and let's chat about it. But I do want to walk through this. This is a big chunk of Paul's passage here, of Ephesians. As I said, the first three chapters are identity. 4-6 is living it out in Christ is key to both. It's our identity in Christ, and we live it out as we are in Christ. So this morning we're going to look at least three things here in this passage. God's part that makes it possible for us as followers of Jesus to live, to walk in the newness of life. So three things here is God's part that has made this possible first, and then we'll look at two responsibilities, our responsibility to carry out our part so that we can live in newness of life. Jesus brings new life. Jesus brings new life. Here's the three that are God's part. By enlightening our understanding, by drawing near to us, and third, by giving us a new heart. Let's look at God's part a little bit more closely. So enlightening our understanding, drawing near to us, and giving us a new heart. And we'll look at that in a little more detail here in this passage. We're looking at 4:17-19. Now this I say to you, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk or live, right? It's a simile here is how we walk with one another, how we journey together. No longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. This is key. God enlightens our understanding. Unless God shows up and says, hey, this is who Jesus is, and the reality of who he is and who we are, then we continue to walk in a darkened understanding. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, think over what I say. Right? Paul's been instructing and encouraging Timothy, a young pastor. He says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in a couple of things. He'll give you understanding in everything. And understanding isn't just knowledge. Understanding is how to apply that knowledge to specific ways in life. How does it impact me? If this is the truth about God and the truth about me, how then shall I live? I live differently. God is the revealer of truth, the teacher of what is good, and the director of wise living. And that comes through the understanding he gives. Before I read Proverbs 28, I heard recently about a man who's convicted of two unprovoked murders. And while he's in prison, he writes to his family members while he's awaiting execution down in the States. And he stated two powerful things in this letter to his family. Like, this was completely unprovoked murders, right? He goes just traveling along, sees somebody, and goes and murders them twice, two different people. He says these powerful things. He says, one, murder should be legal. And so he develops that in this letter to his family, that murder should be made legal, because he just felt like doing it. But then, secondly, he says that he strongly opposes his execution, saying that it would be wrong. How's that for some logical thinking? Or illogical thinking, rather. Talk about an incredible picture of someone who is darkened in their understanding. Unless God shows up, we start to believe lies and conflicting things, and we have no idea that they're inconsistent and they're illogical. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. See, those who seek the Lord, again, it's in Christ. It's we're in relationship with him. We don't figure this out on our own. Yes, he's written many things on our hearts. But as we're growing in him, truly our understanding is enlightened by him. He enlightens our understanding. Do we trust him or do we trust our thinking more? Well, God doesn't leave us in the darkness of our understanding. We don't walk that way. We don't live that understanding out, because in Christ we have an enlightened understanding. Second, God draws near to us. This is his part as well in the next bit. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of their ignorance that is in them. Now, all of these are tied. It's tied to their darkened understanding. But they're also alienated from the life of God. So the life that Jesus has made possible, those who are unredeemed or living as though they are, right, no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds, don't live alienated from God. He's drawn near to us. And we need to understand that. Like, that's why we keep celebrating communion, what he accomplished, but it's tied to Christmas, his coming, right? He drew near to us continually. He continues to draw near to us. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We can kind of take salvation for granted. But it is no small thing that God has drawn near and we can draw near him. We can reciprocate that. He's an ever-present help in time of need. And we're always in a time of need, if we're honest. We always need him. We're always completely dependent on him. We can draw near. He's drawn near to us. He's not pushing us away. He's not this harsh God. Oh, you messed up. I was just waiting for you to do that. He's drawn near to us. He's a God who draws near. He enlightens our understanding, further, he gets fully involved. He comes into the mess of humanity, and he draws near. Not alienated, he adopts us as sons and daughters. He's up close and personal. It's an intimate relationship. And then third, he corrects something that needs correction in and of ourselves. He gives us a new heart. They were darkened. Don't walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. You see, he's writing to believers here. But even though people come to know Jesus, they can still continue to walk as the Gentiles do. And they're not growing in Christ, in that understanding of who God is, who we are in Christ, and then learning to live it out in response to him. We can still walk in that ignorance. The third part is due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous. Hardness of heart is a phrase used throughout Scripture that I'd love to unpack some more, but I'm not going to do it this morning. But not walk as. I'm going to mention Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you. He does this. He gives us that. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Right? Some of you were so young when you received Christ, you can't remember that really concretely happening. But either it happened or you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not in real relationship with him. He gives us a new heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. He changes our desires. That's what the symbol of the heart is, or the direction our lives. He changes that, gives us new desires. Now, right, you ever see a new believer come to Christ and they've suddenly got a fervency, they want to read Scripture. Now, sometimes, again, we can take that for granted. We need real accountability to keep at it. There's dry seasons and whatever else. But we know when we're going, oh man, I need to get into Scripture and prayer again, because the new heart I've been given is not pumping as it should be, and I'm not in that dynamic relation. My desires are turning aside. We can recognize it. We want to get back on track. Careful to walk in my statutes, because they're for our good. We're not fighting against it. It's not constant rebellion. We know he's the one who loves us. He's drawn near to us and obey his rules, because they're guardrails that protect us from harm. If we're living in constant rebellion, trying to see what we can get away with, wow, we got to examine where we're at. So Jesus brings new life by enlightening our understanding, drawing near to us, and giving us a new heart. He's done 98% of what is necessary. He's completely made the way forward that we can walk in new life. And it's an incredible relationship. It's a relationship of we drawing near to him. Are we in that intimate walk with him and surrender and understanding, living out of that new heart, not of the old heart? And what's our part? So we can put on a new humanity. A new humanity. Think of Enoch and Moses. Of both these men, Scripture says they walked with God, right? Don't walk as the Gentiles do. Walk in this new humanity. And it's like walking with God. This is Old Testament, both these guys. Enoch and Moses, right? Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Moses is the clearer picture. It tells us more about his life. But they stood out in a good way, at least in God's eyes. They didn't stand out in a good way in society's lives, in the opinion. Right? Think of Noah. Hey, build an ark. Be like someone here in southern Alberta building a big ark. We don't have big lakes in this province, and none real close by. Emery and Reimer, build a big ark. Right? What would the community think? He's lost it. Right? Noah faced all of that. But his understanding had been enlightened. God had drawn near to him, and he actually responded by drawing near to God. In the New Testament, certainly he's drawn near to us, and we can understand that. We can certainly understand and given a new heart. But in God's eyes, he was faithful. And he did that, and he was careful to do those statutes and obey the rules because he put on a new humanity. He was righteous in God's eyes. He had a greater faith in God than he did in himself. Going back to our verses, verses 20 to 24. But that is not the way you learned, right? The poor example of walking as the Gentiles do. That's not what you learned in Christ, assuming that you have heard about him. Number one step to being in right relationship with God, somebody's got to tell you he exists. He loves you. Here's who he is. Jesus came for you. You heard about him. The second part, and were taught in him. Not just about him, but in him, in real relationship with him. As the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. See, Paul, God, they get that this is a process. It's not like I changed my clothes, done, and it's a one-time event. This is a process that we're being invited to. Continually put off the old self. You're going to keep in your mind putting trust in your own thinking and whatever else, rather than living that new enlightened mind. You're going to keep believing lies about either God or yourself, right? That's why the first three chapters, here's who you are in Christ. And he unpacks that with so much fervor and clarity because we need it. And we keep slipping back into that. As soon as we recognize that, get rid of the old, put on the new. Here's who I really am in Christ. And that alignment needs to happen. The way we live this out, we need to stand out in a good way in God's eyes. And that might cost us a lot. Society, some of our friends might think we've lost it. Just like they thought Noah lost it. He was the one who hadn't lost it. He was on the right course. It's powerful. In Christ, we can put on a new humanity. We can love beyond ourselves. Jesus has made this possible. We don't have to retaliate evil for evil. I mean, this goes on. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Often, we're way more concerned about being right and thought of as something than we are about being righteous, demonstrating the character, kindness of God. Have an opportunity to respond, an opportunity and a responsibility to respond to what God has done. Enlightened our understanding. And then determined to live that out. Live differently. Trust him. Know him. Right? We're not going to trust him if we're at arm's length. But he is drawn near. And as we really know him, we begin to trust him. And when he says, turn left here, or go speak with that person, or go love in this way, we trust him because we've gained that trust over time. We draw near to him as a result of him drawing near to us. 2 Corinthians 10. I beg of you, Paul says, that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness and such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. So people were criticizing Paul and his party, whatever teachers and others that traveled with him, of walking in the flesh. which they used to do, right? Don't walk as the Gentiles did. For though we walk in the flesh, he recognizes this is process. We're still in the flesh. We are not waging war according to the flesh. So we don't have to fight against people. We don't have to convince them that we are right. We don't fight against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. And he explains some of what that is in these next verses. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Remember, the first thing he does is enlighten our understanding, give us true knowledge about who he is and who we are. Whatever goes against that, that's what's destroyed. We don't take out people. We don't destroy them. It's an understanding and it's a response to it. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's part of the putting on this new humanity, is getting rid of the lies that seep into our lives. Chuck those out. Anything that's against the knowledge of God, that's untrue, challenge it, chuck it out of there so that we can live. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. And look what this passage goes on in 2 Corinthians 10. Look at what before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, right? The first three chapters, here's who I am in Christ. Let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we, right? Ephesians isn't just written to individual, hey, person in Ephesus, person sitting in Coldale MB Church pew. It's written to the people of God. And we need to remember all those first three chapters, as much as they apply to me, they apply to the person beside me. Those other followers of Christ whom we disagree with sometimes and we want to battle. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Let's discern together, and so are we. It's their identity as well. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, we need each other. Some of the things you point out in my life I don't like, but I need desperately. May you love me enough to point them out. I will not be ashamed, he says. See, this last week was about unity in the Spirit. This week hasn't ceased to be about unity in the Spirit. This is also about unity, but also about authority, and it's the truth that has authority. We need to speak into each other's lives truth, and that's where we're going next. And then ministry happens. Ministry encouraging for the building up of the body and God working through that body. See, Jesus brings new life by enlightening our understanding, drawing near to us, we can draw near to him, and giving us a new heart, new desires, a new direction in life, purpose, everything else. And we can put on a new humanity, just like my Uncle Hal. It's a response. Here's what God has done for him. That's the old Hal. This is the old Gary. This is the old, well, I'm not calling you all old, but you know, you get my point. And we put on a new humanity, and we learn to live in truth and in grace. Identity is true of all believers. We are the church together. Therefore, going on in chapter 4 of Ephesians 25 to 28, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil, who is the father of lies. Father of lies, right? Take every thought captive. We're starting to believe lies. We're living inaccurately to who we truly are. We need to believe the truth about here's who I am and then align with that. Live out this new humanity. Live in truth and grace. And we need each other to do that. None of us will have this balance by ourselves. learn to live it together. Learning to journey, and it's about truth. Not giving the devil a foothold. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. Work is good for us. That was pre-fall that he said, take care of my creation. Doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Being generous is good. Working hard is good. It reflects God's character. And that's who we truly are. That's our identity. That's the truth. Our character, true character, flows out of God's character. I read a thing fairly recently, some months back, I think, the Lethbridge Police Services are hiring. And it was just a post on Facebook that, hey, we're hiring, and people could respond to it and whatever else. One of the comments under there was, well, maybe Lethbridge Police Services aren't successful at hiring right now. They need to advertise this more broadly because no one wants to work with the deer running over officer. Relating back to something that was in the news, there was a deer that was injured badly, and the police officer decided to put it out of its misery. Unfortunately, it took it several times of running it over with his police cruiser. I'm not saying good, bad decision. We weren't even there. But just this comment of, maybe no one wants to work with this guy. You know, one act of one officer, one decision of one officer does not define the Lethbridge Police Service. But that's one of the lies we believe about ourselves and about fellow believers, that one act, one decision, when they hurt me so bad, or when I did this, that's the new definition. No, it is not. Truth is, that doesn't define you. It doesn't define that other person. And unity is still important. So is authority. So is speaking into each other's lives. And so is ministry, that we have an impact for Christ. And we won't have an impact for Christ if we're believing lies about ourselves or about each other. And one decision or one act, even if it's a couple of times, several times, does not define who we are. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. And Jesus brings new life. And to put on that new humanity, live in truth and grace. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up. It's easy to slip into tearing down, isn't it? As is the occasion. So whatever the occasion is, build them up from wherever they're at. That it may give grace to those who hear. We have an opportunity. Yeah, speaking truth, we often think of that. Speaking truth, the hard truths, right? We want to do that as graciously as possible. But another dynamic of speaking truth in love is encouraging, is saying, hey, that doesn't define you. There's forgiveness in Christ. When you've blown it real big, there's forgiveness. That's the truth, too. Here's your true identity. Do we remind each other of our true identities? Or when someone's believing something false, I kind of see that, too. Or we disengage, we don't lovingly engage and build up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, that's the old, along with all malice, seeking to get retribution or karma, right? There's lots of karma videos out on somebody does something and, oh good, they got it. That's just malice. Wanting them to get what they deserve, but when it comes to us, we don't want to receive what we deserve. Right? Our sin has earned death. We don't want what we deserve, but we delight when someone else gets what we see they deserve. How's that gracious? How's that kind? How's that be kind to one another, tender-hearted? What forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Not forgiving within our human limitations. As God in Christ has forgiven us. This is Christ. This is key that it's in Christ. Are we in Christ? Our lives currently reflect we are putting on a new humanity and increasingly living in the truth and grace that He has made possible. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have stated it. We want to be followers of You who bring glory to You. We recognize we continue to slip into these old patterns, living as the Gentiles do, out of lies, believing lies, about ourselves, about You, about others, and our true identity, God. We are unwilling to reconcile, to move forward, to live a new humanity that is above and beyond what we can do apart from You. But You've accomplished 98% of it. We need to respond and align. This is the direction. What direction am I moving today, God? Toward a new humanity, living that out? Towards living in greater truth and grace? Or am I stagnant in it, moving away from it? God, only in You can we have a balance of this. Would You fill us with Your Spirit that we would be Your people living in the new life You've made possible, Jesus, and may You be glorified. Amen.